Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
If you go out on the quad tonight, you may see zombies there. And if you are a human, I'd suggest that you beware. That's because the humans and the zombies are at war on campuses across the nation, as Only a Game's Karen Given recently discovered at the University of Massachusetts.
Yes, I am. 21.
Darren Twofeathers, Tim Bain, Sean Coffle, and Alex Silber gather in the UMass Student Union 2 hours before the start of the final mission of the fall HVZ. They are humans versus zombies administrators and experts in obscure zombie movies, tying square knots, and, in the case of Tim Bain, Nerf weaponry.
This is the Maverick. It's actually the most common Nerf gun. It's cheap. It's like $6-$7. You see it a lot. It's kind of cool to see what people do with different guns. There's so many guns, though.
Humans versus zombies plays out like any number of popular movies. Zombies try to tag or bite humans to turn them into more zombies. Humans fend off the zombies using Nerf weapons, clean socks, and fresh marshmallows. Zombie players must bite a human every 3 days or they'll starve to death. So Sean Coffle says they stalk humans in parking lots, outside dining halls, and between classes.
You know, I come out of French class with Tim. And we'll just be walking along by the Fine Arts Center, and we'll look off in the distance and see three zombies booking it after a human who's chucking socks over their shoulder as they go, things like that.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you hear people who aren't even playing go, "Yeah, go human," and it's just great.
This semester, the game started with nearly 650 humans. About 25 were turned into zombies right away. Over the course of the next 11 days, all but 200 of the players have been turned to zombies, and all but 100 of those zombies have died of starvation. But Darren Twofeathers says all the zombies will be resurrected for today's final mission.
You know, you see in all the zombie movies, tons of zombies and a few humans trying to fight their way out. And the humans that legitimately make it this far without cheating and have been struggling this whole time, using vaccines to stay human and fighting for, you know, their own survival, have really enjoyed the challenge. So they don't mind that there may be 200 zombies to their 10 humans. They are going to try their best to survive.
Oh yeah, there are vaccines too, which can shield humans from a zombie bite or turn a zombie back into a human. Almost everything in this game is borrowed from somewhere else. The zombies are of the quick-moving, bloodthirsty variety found in 28 Days Later. They're created by an experiment overseen by the Lazarus Corporation, a thinly veiled knockoff of the Dharma Initiative from the TV show Lost, and there are even nods to Charlton Heston's The Omega Man. But Keith Rood says even though the plot is not exactly original, the outcome of today's final battle is far from predetermined.
I guess since there's no real zombie invasion, you can't exactly say what would really happen and who should be winning. We try to say there's no winner in the game, but I guess if you look at most zombie movies, it ends with everybody's dead.
With just an hour to go before the final mission, the game admins scatter to four distant corners of the campus to set up their props. The weather, which started off mild, turns dark and windy.
You guys, this is the perfect weather for this scenario. It's like, you know, the zombie virus is in the air and there's like a huge storm moving over us.
On top of O Hill, between two large water towers, Tim Bain gets ready for the 4 o'clock start. To the casual observer, the mission objective looks like a wooden crutch jury-rigged to a slightly smelly trash can. But to human players Jason Mellon and Michael Reardon, it represents an overload switch at a cooling tower.
They've got four of these contraptions around campus, and the different humans have to go around each of them and hold down the lever for 5 minutes, and that's supposed to trigger the reaction. Try to take the zombies out and let the humans live.
If we fail, the virus will spread into the jet stream, and then, like, everyone will become a zombie. It'll be a huge breakout. I never knew UMass Amherst would be such an important site.
While Michael has enjoyed meeting his fellow players, fleeing from zombies hiding in bushes, and learning the ins and outs of Nerf weaponry, there's one component of humans versus zombies the freshman has yet to embrace.
I actually haven't used socks because I find that socks have sentimental value to me. So if I throw them, I'm going to want to retrieve them.
Humans! Lay down your weapons!
Michael might soon rethink his no-sock policy as a swarm of zombies approach the humans amassed on top of O Hill. Squad leaders call for the humans to hold their line while the zombies approach. As the zombies are hit by flying Nerf darts and socks, they move red bandanas from around their heads to around their necks to indicate that they've been stunned. Human players tagged by zombies move their bandanas from around their arms to their heads to indicate that they've been turned. A full flank of humans fall to the zombies, but before long, the horde is defeated and the mission objective is reached.
Next location, Zeds!
Webster, form up!
While the humans regroup and the zombies fan out to find more victims, HVZ admin Darren Twofeathers hops into his car to try to beat everyone down the hill for the next stage of the scenario.
They managed to start the meltdown, so now they've got to get to the camp center, which is where we're headed right now.
So what's in it for the zombies now? I mean...
Nothing. They want brains. They get a nice feast of brains.
Yeah, man.
If you shot at the zombies outside just recently, Daryl has your darts.
A room in the basement of the campus center serves as the fallout shelter for the surviving human players. Liz Crothers' skin is flushed and she can barely breathe, but she's glad she made it to safety.
Yeah. Asthma attack and all, we made it. It was a little tense for a while. We got to the parking lot behind O Hill, started to go down the hill, and then we caught up with another group of humans. And then from behind us, it was zombies in the parking lot, zombies in the parking lot. So we basically sprinted here from O Hill.
Yay, you're alive!
After 15 minutes, the door to the room is closed, and everyone outside is considered lost, either to the zombie horde or to the radiation released to eliminate the rage virus. While most players celebrate their own survival, a few mourn their fallen classmates.
Jesse didn't make it in!
And we lost Danielle.
We lost the pit crew, we lost Casey, we lost Jesse.
The pit crew had 15 kids, there are two here.
Daryl McTague is a junior who's been playing this game since it first came to UMass 3 semesters ago. He considers this installment to be a success.
Overall, I mean, we did blow up the Pioneer Valley.
But we won.
It's melting right now.
If the game were real, the humans would now be locked in this basement, waiting for the radiation to clear. But since it's only a game, Brian Rizza and Charlie Amonte are headed out for a celebratory feast at the Worcester Dining Commons.
We finally get to feast on Worcester.
It's usually completely overrun by zombies because they like to camp out the dining halls because that's where all the humans have to go to eat. So humans have been staying away from there for the past week or so. So now that we're free and we don't have to look over our shoulders, we can actually eat at the dining halls instead of scrounging for what food we have in our rooms. So.
Ramen noodles,
it's a
baby.
Feast. It really truly is.
No more noodles or Chef Boyardee.
While campus-wide games of tag have been going on for decades, Humans vs. Zombies was first created just 3 years ago at Goucher College near Baltimore. Today, the game is played on dozens of campuses from California to Maine and as far away as Australia and Brazil. And organizers are happy to say the zombie horde appears to still be spreading.
We got 2 minutes left till you're unstunned! 3 minutes left in the barrel!
For Only a Game, I'm Karen Given in Amherst, Massachusetts.
The reprise of Karen Given's story about the ongoing collegiate wars between humans and zombies will be featured on this week's show, which will be based on the proposition that some of what we've presented during the past year merits another listen. I'll have the story about the incredibly successful squash teams at Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut. We'll revisit the Plumbers Olympics, sure to be a wrenching experience, and we'll listen once more as the music guys from Sound Opinions debate the question of which team would win the Super Bowl of fight songs. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to the program at onlyagame.org.